Good morning, everybody. It's Mike Stewart with MikeStewart.live. So glad you're here. Hopefully people are getting in their seats on Facebook and YouTube, and more importantly, at the website, MikeStewart.live. I'm excited about the show today. I want to tell you a little bit about who I've got as a guest, Dr. Bill Lampton, one of my dear friends. Met him at the Georgia Speaker Association probably 25 years ago or more. Bill may know the better date. That's how my memory's going these days. But, you know, when I started building websites back in the 90s, I was focusing on making audio and video work on websites. I had a company called Sound Pages. I used to make web pages with sound. And that's how I went up to Bill at the Speakers Association and I said, "Do you have a website?" He says, "Yes, I do. I have a website." I said, "But does your website have sound? Because, you know, if you're a speaker, if you're a professional keynote speaker or coach or trainer and your website, nobody can hear you, that kind of is a disconnect for me. You know, people should be able to hear you." He says, you can be heard on your website. I said, "Absolutely. I specialize in making websites with audio and video." Now, this is 1996, 97, somewhere in there. That's when I started Sound Pages. I got out of my studio business and started doing, audio and video web pages. And so, with all that being said, Bill became a customer, and then, of course, more importantly, he became a local neighbor. I lived in Gainesville, Georgia. He lives in Gainesville, Georgia to this day. And we just became very endeared to one another. I mean, he's just one of those special people. He's so brilliant. I'm not going to tell you his age, but he's much younger than his real age. That's all I'll tell you. He's a whole lot younger than that. He's willing and open to learn things that maybe were not, came natural to him. They were not part of his generation. You know, I mean, he made a comment to me that, when he was a professor, at a university, he delegated things that now he has to embrace himself. You know, email didn't exist back in those days, web pages, the internet. There's so many things that didn't exist back in those days. And nowadays they do exist. So one of the things I love about Dr. Bill Lampton is that he has just always had an open mind, and I cannot believe this many years later, he still works with me every month, just wanting to learn more. And that's a lesson for us all. So his expertise is communication. His expertise is, dealing with speaking. And, you know, he actually is an expert when it comes to stage fright. Now, I want to tell a couple little stories, and then I'm going to bring Bill on. But the stories were, you know, when I started building web pages using video, I never forgot. I had this client who was a genius when it came to computers. I mean, he owned a computer repair business. You could ask him a question about a Windows computer. I mean, he knew the answer. And I'll never forget. I said, "Well, let's get all this information on your website in a video." And I said, "So tell me about, you know, Windows and what you do and viruses and installing software and hardware, all this techno geeko stuff." And he's like going a mile a minute, just passionately confident. And I held up a camera like this. You know, this is the camera we use today, a cell phone. Back then it was a Kodak ZI-8, if I recall. He froze. He just went from expert to solidly frozen and could not. We never got a video. We got nothing because he was so scared of this device. So, you know, they say that death and public speaking are some of the biggest fears in the world, which I can understand being scared of dying, but public speaking, well, you know what video is? You know what this webcam right here is? This is public speaking to an inanimate piece of plastic. And it's amazing how if you want to do online video, it is the speaking world. And you have not stage fright, you have camera fright. Well, I had to learn how to get over that. I remember back in 2002, my good friend Armin Morin let me speak on his stage on audio and video marketing. It was the big seminar in San Francisco. I think it was 2004 or five, somewhere in there. And I'll tell you, if you can see here in my studio here, I got guitars and pianos because I've been a musician. I have played in front of as many as 10,000 people one time. I did a show years ago, and I was as comfortable as I could be behind those keyboards and behind a guitar. But the thought of getting up on that stage and standing out center stage with nothing but a microphone or a lapel mic on and looking at all those people and having to speak, I was petrified. I mean, I started getting nervous just thinking about it. So you know what I did? And this is just shows you how dumb it is. And people who may remember that time I was at the big seminar, I came out with my guitar and I sang a Beatles song. You can see here in the back, there's pictures of the Beatles. I'm a huge fan of the Beatles. So I set new lyrics to Yellow Submarine. We all live in an audio world. I sang Yellow Submarine with audio lyrics. Everybody laughed. Everybody thought it was cute. I set down my guitar and I got through the speech. And in fact, I actually won speaker of the seminar, you know, and I had never done it before. Been in front of 100 or 1,000 audiences playing music. But speaking, I had stage fright. I was scared to death. And when I turned it into my subconscious of thinking that I was playing music, I just felt like I was talking for a long time to a music audience. So anyway, those are my stories. But here's why it's real important for you to listen to Bill today. He is an expert at communication. He is an expert at stage fright. And so I'm without any more of me rambling here. I want to bring on my good friend and communication expert, Bill Lampton. Bill, are you there?
Good morning, Mike. I'm here, and I refer to you as the guy who got me away from the number two pencil.
Well, let's see here. Here you go. They still make them. There they are. There's a number two pencil right there.
But you've made it unnecessary for me, and you were right on the year. It was 1997 when you asked me if I had a website, and I thought I had a website until I started looking at other people's websites, and man, did I give you a call quickly, and we've worked together, as you've said, ever since.
Well, you know, you're just one of those people who you thirst for knowledge, and you're brilliant, and you know, I used to say people don't know what they don't know. It's not a matter of education. It's just that you got to pick and choose the things you want to know. Well, here's what I think our folks want to know, and they'll probably ask us some questions. I'm actually seeing some comments coming in here, but we'll save them to the end. Talk about stage fright and how it applies to online video. And just I'm a dummy here. I want to make better online videos. I want to make better YouTube videos. I want to communicate better to a webcam or shooting videos with a cell phone. Give me your best, you know, spill out the goods here. I'm going to go away and the floor is your, and if I have a question or I see some things we need to know, we'll come back with that. Go for it, Jerry.
Well, thanks very much, Mike. I very much agree with the fact that what we're saying applies to a lot more than when you're just standing up before an audience, because we get stage fright under a number of circumstances. A lot of us these days are going to be interviewing for jobs. That can be a mentally threatening experience. You have to conduct a meeting with your staff, either online or if your company is meeting in person, you have to do that. You're going to make a sales presentation. That is unnerving as well. So making a video, as Mike says, any time that you're making any kind of presentation online or before a live audience that's present, stage fright control is important. And the major first point I want to make, Mike, is that I'm not saying stage fright cure. I'm saying stage fright control. Why? Because stage fright control, stage fright at a certain level, when we control it, has advantages. And I'll use an example I've used a lot of times. I counted one day, I've been a University of Georgia football fan ever since I taught there on the faculty in speech communication. I counted recently, I've been to about 250 home games. And the illustration I like to make is, suppose I go to a home game and I see the team run out and come to their midfield, and suppose they all go and sit down on the bench and start yawning. Well, that's bad. They've got no stage fright. They're just saying ho-hum to the situation. So you want to keep that edge. I never want to go into any kind of presentation, including this one, when I'm not maybe pacing the floor ahead of time. It's good to be on edge. Control it. Okay, what are some of the steps in controlling it? And Mike, you can chime in anytime you'd like to. But one of the first ones I would give is that those symptoms that you and I and everybody else feels about stage fright, and I could name a dozen of them, our hands are shaking, our hands are sweaty, we feel like we can't get our words out, we're perspiring from our brow, which is a problem if you wear glasses, our knees are shaking, our stomach is churning, well, guess what? Nobody is aware of those physical symptoms but us. So recognize that what we are feeling is not even visible, is not even audible. And the worst thing that we could do is to say to our audience, you know, I'm really scared, but I'm sure you'll put up with me. What if your surgeon said that to you? You know, I'm really scared, Bill, but I've got this knife here and I think I know what to do with it, but you'll excuse me if my hand's shaking a little bit. So first 2 points then. Control your stage fright. Don't try to get rid of it. Ignore all those online who say they're going to get rid of it for you. And secondly, remember that the symptoms themselves are visible only to you. What would you add at this point, Mike? And I certainly have some more points.
Well, you know, I'm seeing some good questions come in, and I invite everybody to keep going to either YouTube or Facebook, especially MikeStewart.live. You'll see a chat box there and I'll be able to see those questions. You know, I mean, the thing is any tips you can give us, like one of the things that I was taught, and I don't know if you ever heard this, Bill, but you know, I had a friend years ago who say that when you're talking to the camera, you know, you got to make sure that you look at the lens. See, like if I look like this over to the side when I'm shooting video, I'm not making a connection with the viewer.
So eye contact is important.
Eye contact. So, and I'm sure that's true with interviews or live speaking. You know, in other words, you need to use eye contact as best you can. But when it comes to shooting videos, if you struggle with shooting videos, I was told years ago, hold a picture of your father if you're talking about something mechanical or technical, and put that picture, you know, in not where you're not looking at the camera, but like you're talking to your dad about, well, Dad, let me explain to you how this phone works. You tap here. But if you're talking about something emotional, if you're talking about something serious or something that has not so much a technical, then show a picture of your mother and tell your mother and explain it to her. And just practicing that in the mirror and just getting used to presenting and being enthused. You know, that's one of the things that I used to do with video. But what are some other things that you know are little helpful tips that could help people communicate better, especially when it comes to the YouTube, the online LinkedIn, the places that you can put online video? What would you recommend?
I would say to you, remember that your ideas about the audience probably need to be changed. We think that our audiences, whoever they are, whether it's a video audience or an audience right there before us, we think they're going to be so critical, they're going to be so judgmental. But think of the times that you're sitting in the audience. Unless the speaker is somebody that you hold a grudge against, you do not want that speaker to fail. It's very uncomfortable for the audience when a speaker fails, and we've all seen that happen. That's just as uncomfortable as it is for the speaker. So think about the fact that your audience, instead of being your critic, your audience is your cheerleader. And really, what I like to tell people is, and Mike, you've spoken to very large audiences, and I've had the privilege of doing that too. And when I was speaking to an audience, I remember in Richmond, Virginia, of 600 people, I remember that there was one common thought most of them had, and that thought was, you know, I'm glad it's Bill up there speaking and not me. Audiences are sympathetic. They want you to succeed. And let's go to some other situations. The person that you're trying to sell something to, when you're making a sales presentation, that person wants you to succeed because they'd love it if your service or your product works for them. The person that you're interviewing with for a job, they're not going to be condemning you right away. They would love it if you solve their problem, their search, and you're the one who is right for the position that they're offering. And Mike, you mentioned video. One of the best suggestions that I heard was from Scott Williford from Atlanta. Scott owns a video company, and what he advises people when they say, gosh, I'm just afraid to do video, Scott says, get over yourself. there's some value in that. Recognize, and this is another point I like to make, there are three things that you can think about when you stand up to give a presentation or you sit down across the table from somebody. Your audience, your message, or yourself. It's great if you focus on the audience because you are trying to meet their needs. You're trying to connect with them. And as Mike said, in a very conversational way, it's wonderful if you concentrate on your message. This is what you're passionate about, and you want to persuade them that this is significant in their life and in their profession. But the third choice, if you focus on yourself, you're set up for failure. For example, you're focusing on yourself. You're wondering, gee, what impression am I making? And you look out here and somebody's texting and somebody else is nodding off and somebody else gets up and leaves the room and suddenly all your self-confidence is out the window. So change your view of audiences. Recognize that they are with you. They support you. And recognize, too, that focusing on the audience or the message is far more valuable and productive and spirit boosting for everybody than focusing on yourself.
Oh, I think that's all great information, Bill. I mean, you know, you are the expert. I gotta share one other little quick speaker story with you, and then we're going to get a word from our sponsor. And then I want you to tell us, everybody, in the next segment about your book. But look at this thing here. I don't know if you know what that is. You can't see it in the podcast, but this is a clicker that was invented back before World War II. And they used to give these things so that they could communicate, you know, during the war. And I had a speaker. You may know him, Chuck Reeves. You remember Chuck?
Yes, and I remember you giving me those speakers to do some recordings with, those clickers.
Yeah, well, we discovered a thing for digital editing with these clickers. But what I used to love is that Chuck had a problem saying too much. So he created a bunch of these clickers, and he gave them to everybody in the audience. And he says, anytime I say I want you to click it. And, of course, after doing that a few times, he never had to pass them out again because the minute he'd go, and it was like people were listening. But you know what it did? It forced people to listen to him intently. Hopefully they were absorbing the information. But I thought that was a fun speaker story. So anyway, we're going to be right back after this word from our sponsor, which happens to be my passion these days, going live. It's a mantra I say, go live, repurpose, and archive. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.
Life secrets, go live, repurpose, archive.
Doc Life Secrets is here, and I am more excited about this training than any offer I have made in years. Content marketing is the way you build visitor traffic to your online business offer. Some say the only organic SEO left. When you make the commitment to create a regularly scheduled live show, repurpose that show as a YouTube video, podcast on Apple and Spotify, as a Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn post, and transcribe that audio into text for articles and memes, it is the fastest, easiest way to do content marketing and have audience engagement. My course has three offers: do it yourself, done for you, and a financed cert term jingle bundle. I believe in this so much, I made the commitment to go live, repurpose, and archive myself. So go to dotlivesecrets.com and you can start going live, repurpose, and archive yourself.
Dot Life Secrets, go live, repurpose, archive. Dot Life Secrets.
Well, thanks. We're back. Hope that you'll consider, you know, in fact, I'm living what I preach there in that ad. I'm go live. I repurpose and I archive. And basically that I was told by a mentor, Bill, year or so ago, that when you want to be found more and more on the internet, which is called traffic, that content marketing and paid advertising is pretty much all there is left. You know, a lot of the SEO people in the world don't like to hear that, search engine optimization is, it's not gone, but it's probably about 50% of what it was 10 years ago. And, Seth Godin said, all that's left is content marketing if you want to be found, for free.
And you and I, Mike, across the years have seen so many things that were the thing for 2 to 3 to 5 years, and now nobody knows what they are. They've been replaced.
The one thing that's constant is it will change. That is the one constant. Well, tell us about your book.
Okay. I wrote this book, Mike, because I recognize that there were many people I could not get to in person, but I wanted them to have my 25 ways to control your stage fright and become a highly confident speaker. This is a very brief book. I'll tell you ahead of time. It's only 24 pages. Don't go for length. Go for quality. And in here, I have the 25 best tips that I've learned, I've used, and I've taught since 1997 when I became a professional communication consultant. So this book is available on Amazon. It's available in Kindle version or in this brief paperback version. And I can, I believe, guarantee that you will get tips in this book that you have not thought about before and that will be very valuable in helping you control your stage fright. And Mike, one other tip I'd give now, which also is one of those included in the book. One of the mistakes we think that we make about stage fright is thinking, well, you know, I've just got to be perfect. I can't make any mistakes. I can't goof up on some words. I can't forget anything. I'll be a terrible failure if I did. And one of the things I do when I'm coaching clients about speaking, I give them a list of tips. And when I come to the tip, don't try to be perfect, I purposely misspell the word perfect. I mean, I really butcher it, but they can still tell what it was. And our mistakes are okay. For example, if you run into somebody, a friend in the grocery store, and you start chatting, and all of a sudden you have to restart, or you have a word that doesn't come out right, do you go home and beat yourself up about that? No. And those of you who watched Johnny Carson during his heyday on The Tonight Show will remember that Johnny Carson, you almost wondered if he planned his mistakes because he could make so much out of them. Johnny Carson would say something that was obviously mistaken, and he'd tap the microphone and maybe do a little soft shoe dance, which I don't know how to do. But get over your mistakes. People don't want a robot up there. And if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable instead of emphasis on the wrong syllable, that's okay.
That's great. Well, we got a few questions here. I swear I've been doing these live shows here for about 6 weeks now, and I do it with my partner in pest control. So I've done about 8 shows, Bill, and I'll tell you what, they're so much fun and they go by so fast. I can't believe we're almost coming up to the close here, but we do have one question here from Tom Brooks, good customer friend of mine, great voiceover guy out in Oregon. Says, great to see you, Bill. How do you use LinkedIn for communication? You got any suggestions for Tom on that?
The main thing I do on LinkedIn is to try to post regularly, try to post meaningful, helpful material, not much in the way of hard sell, mostly information that people can use. And Tom, it is good to hear from you. You and I are connected on LinkedIn, and you've noticed, Tom, that I not only publish my own material, including videos quite regularly, but I will post quality material from other people as well. The main thing I don't do on LinkedIn is the minute somebody connects with me, try to pitch them and sell them something. I like to say on LinkedIn, if you connect and you pitch me, you strike out.
Well, that's great advice, Bill. I'm just looking to see if it, and if folks, this is your chance. We've had a couple of good questions here. We're getting a lot of, you know, getting a lot of good comments. My good friend Carlin Bunting, he mentioned it. Here's my good friend, a Canadian buddy in real estate, Michael Creesa. So I'm getting all kinds of good, fact, you know, Michael said I was interested in getting his multimedia career also. So, you know, we've been consulting and communicating with people for years and years. But like I said, one of the things I love about going live here and having live people, it does two things, Bill. It makes you, it holds you accountable. You know, in other words, this is one of my old jokes. You know, it's like, I'm going to do that someday when I get around to it. You know, I said, I'm going to start a podcast. You know, I know how to podcast. I know how to do YouTube. I know all these things. I teach all these things, and I'm going to get to it one of these days when I get around to it. Well, this is what I have. I have around to it.
Hey, we all need that.
Yeah. And I, so, you know, I think Dan Kennedy said, or somebody may, I don't know, maybe somebody else said it, that 99% or 95% of success is showing up. So that's why I'm so thankful you showed up for this show. Is there any closing statements you want to say before we close this show out? But this has been great information. The message I hear is learn what holds you back and get over yourself. Just make yourself do it. Anything else that you could say about making better video? Because basically making video is speaking. That's what it is. And you have been a communication speaker coach for years and years and years with lots of success under your belts. Folks, go to bizcommunicationguy.com. Check out Bill. Join his email list. Look at his playlist. Watch his YouTube channel. Get to know this man. He is he's just a gem that more people need to know is out there doing things. Because you know what? He doesn't have to. He's doing it because he loves it. He loves helping people, and hopefully that comes across from both of us. So anything you want to say, and then we're going to close this show out.
The final two points. One is we haven't mentioned preparation. Of course, I like to say preparation reduces your perspiration. So you do have to prepare, but don't over prepare. And then because you can get tired of it. And then the second thing I would say, and I think this is extremely important, and especially with video, forget that word delivery. We've been teaching it for so many years and talking about how to give a speech. Leave delivery to FedEx, the post office, and other services. Think instead of having a conversation with your audience. Speak to them as though there were one person there, even if there are thousands, or if they're an unknown number on the internet. Just speak to that individual in the audience with a conversation. They'll love it.
All right, Bill. That is great advice. Folks, share this website, MikeStewart.live. That's where I archive this show. It's in YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my email list. Subscribe to my podcast. In other words, there's multiple opportunities to get all this information. My goal is to bring some of the stellar people of the world that can share insights to things that maybe you need to know more about, maybe you struggle with. And that's why I wanted to have my good friend Bill Lampton here say. So, Bill, thank you so much. If you want to go live, this show is brought to you by .livesecrets.com. That's where you learn to go live, repurpose, and archive. You know, I suspect anybody who sells something they don't do themselves. I'm very suspect of that, but I believe in this so much. That's why I do this show. And I appreciate all of you people who, carve out a half an hour of your morning to spend it with me. So, share this with everybody, share it on social media, get to know Bill Lampton. And thanks so much, Bill. We'll see you shortly. I promise.
Thanks, Mike. It's a great privilege to be with you and your viewers and listeners.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.